This morning, what a wonderful time to be able to get together. So good to see everybody. It is Kids Sunday. It's Family Sunday. You'll know that we have some internal discussion as to what we call this, but we have settled on Family Sunday. And the children are here with us. And as Josh said, that they are a part of the church. We are the church. And in fact, normally we do separate to have kids' classes and to have us together because of Nehemiah 8:8, where it says that they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So sometimes in this setting, a lot of things can go not only over our heads, but the heads of children. And so we seek to have classes to where it really connects with them on that level. And that's why we're intentional about our kids' classes. But on this Sunday, we come together, and that part of it is not only to show that we are a family, but that family has that interaction, and that we can talk about what was spoken here today, and that that would continue to foster the work of God in our lives, because our faith isn't just about Sunday. Our faith isn't coming here and hearing something good or maybe confessing sin and being like, okay, good, now I got that off my chest, and go live the way that we want, but that our faith should dictate or should speak into our lives Monday through Saturday as well. And as a family, how we can not only hold each other accountable, but serve one another as we discuss the things that are talked about and that we read in the Bible. Now, you'll notice that throughout the slides, we're going to see little hearts. And that is for you guys, because on your clipboard, you're going to notice that there are going to be hearts all the way throughout. And what I want you to do is to pay attention and count how many hearts, because they're just going to pop up. And you're not going to quite know when they're coming.
There's one.
There might even be three. But we're just going to see them come about. And so I want you guys to pay attention. And then as you see them, be able to write it down. And then as you leave this morning, I want you to tell me how many you found and how many you counted.
That's to keep me awake, man.
And that's also for JD, that he would know. But we started to jump into the minor prophets. We are in the book of Hosea. These minor prophets, these books, they take on the name of the prophet themselves. So it's not about the prophet, it's about God calling his people back to himself. And we've started in the book of Hosea, and we've been marching through that. And if you've been a part of this, walking with us through this, you will know that we've come upon a Hosea chapter 4. And if you've read that, we realize, you know, it might not be appropriate for Family Sunday. And what we want to do this morning is look at Hosea chapter 4 and just drill down on verse 1, where it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land." And so it's in this phrase of steadfast love that I want to focus on this morning. These chapters and books are so rich that as we look at this, we're not able to talk about everything that's in this book on a Sunday morning. And so this is a great opportunity for us to really drill down, particularly on steadfast love, because we see it all throughout the first three chapters, but we've rarely been able to touch on it. And so what we're going to look at and what we hope to see this morning are these three things. What is steadfast love? Why does God love us steadfastly? How then do we get to live? And if I was to pose a question this morning, have you ever experienced a love relationship only to be revealed later that it wasn't love, but you were just being used? Have you ever experienced a love relationship, or maybe what you thought was love, only later to find out that it was empty and it wasn't that, but that you were being used? And if you have, it's difficult. And I hope that this morning, as we talk about a steadfast love and a love that comes from God, that we're encouraged, that we're built up this morning. But before we jump into our first point, let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. that it is a light. It leads the way. It gives us illumination. It gives us revelation. It speaks to us on a level and jumps into the midst of our lives and the noise and the chaos and the muck and the mire, and it pierces our hearts. Lord, I pray that this morning it would uplift us. I pray that it would encourage us, that though we may be walking through difficult times, or maybe we're enjoying wonderful times, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, that you would just meet us and that you would speak to us and give us the words of life that Jesus spoke of. Those words that where we need not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. So lead us this morning, enrich us, and equip us, Lord, for what you have set before us. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, all of God's people said, amen. So when we look at steadfast love, we want to ask the question, what is steadfast love? So say that with me. What is steadfast love? Now, for the Bible nerds out there, like myself, you might read Hosea 4:1, and it might ring true as he starts out, "Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel." You might hear what's called the Shema. This would be the declaration of who God is, as we see it in Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And Hosea starts out, "Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel." And that might have rung with you. And if you think about it, when you want to communicate or when you want to bring somebody to a particular point, these words are important. For we see in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what do we see in John 1:1? In the beginning. If I was to tell you a story that took place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, what would you connect it with? Oh, it must be sci-fi. It must be some kind of story there. Or once upon a time, right? Make believe. And so I don't think it's coincidence that we see this here. Okay, nerding aside. Think about the implications of that. But moving on. Back to point one, God says, I have an issue, that there's no faithfulness, there's no steadfast love, and there's no knowledge of God in the land. And isn't that fascinating? Because Israel, the name literally means governed by God, that it was God who established them, it was God who protected them. God said, I want to use you as a people to be a nation of priests that the world would know me through you. And yet he tells them, there's no knowledge of me. And he rebukes them. He confronts them. And not about like, hey, you guys, your gross national product is a little bit below the line, or hey, your rate of employment, you know, it could be a little bit better. It wasn't anything that we might look at as how we see a nation flourish, but it was one in which he says that there is no faithfulness, there is no steadfast love, and no knowledge in the land of him. So as we talk about what this idea of steadfast love, this word, this phrase, steadfast love, it's one word in the Hebrew, it's called hesed. And as I was looking up this word, it means loyal and faithful love. And there's a great theologian who recently passed, R.C. Sproul. He said this, "There may be no more significant Old Testament description of how God relates to his people than this Hebrew word hesed. I argue that the best translation of this term would be loyal love. God loves his people genuinely, immutably, loyally. Both the love and the loyalty are, of course, tightly bound together. That is, just as one cannot love capriciously, so one cannot be loyal without love. God is for his people and will never cease to be for them." So while God brings an indictment, says, hey, you guys, you're missing the mark here, the whole reason he does it is because he loves them. The whole reason he points it out is because he loves him. So this steadfast love that he has is intricately tied to faithfulness. And this is the summary of the last three chapters. They've fallen short. He points it out where they've misstepped so that they can come back into relationship. Now, this is kind of ask us the question, why? Why does God love us so steadfastly? Say it with me. Why does God love us so steadfastly? Because of this. God is love. I want that to sink in. God is love. This is not simply an attribute of his character. It is his character. And if you're like me and have a fallen sense of love, sometimes we think it's contractual. If you do your end, then I'll do my end and we're good. But if you fall short, then I'm off the hook. But this is not a loyal love. This is not one that's unconditional. For in fact, sometimes we think of God and we put him in our box and we think that holiness and love and righteousness and goodness and judgment and wrath, that there are just certain attributes of his character that are added. That there's God and then he's faithful. That this is an attribute of him. But that's completely wrong. That's how we operate. But the reality of how God is and how he's revealed himself is that he is love. That he is holiness, that he is righteousness, and that all of that intricately informs the other, so that in his holiness there is love, and that dictates, that speaks into his holiness, that his faithfulness, that love permeates that, and his holiness, and his goodness, and his faithfulness, and his judgment, and his wrath. Think on that one. That's a freebie. Think about how the love and the wrath of God connect. Think how one informs the other. Because it's not just this angry, angry old man, as some think, but how do we see Jesus? If Jesus is the express image of God, that he is the direct, he is the representation, as Hebrews would say, that he is the radiance of his glory, that he would tell Philip, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If this is who God is, we have to come and we have to reconcile this. But the wonderful thing is this, is that he is love. So while our love tank can be emptied and gets emptied, his love is steadfast and never ending. Right? This is the good news. It doesn't matter whether or not we can feel it, brothers and sisters. It has nothing to do with feeling because it just is. His love for you and for me exists independent of our feeling. This is a Hesed love. Now, if we compare Hosea 4:1, as we started off reading Hosea 4:1, and Jesus, or God, said to Hosea, there is no steadfast love. Let's compare Hosea 4:1 to 1 John 4:8. Hosea 4:1, hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, no knowledge of God in the land. 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So, as we see how or why God loves steadfastly, how then do we get to live? Say that with me. How then do we get to live? We get to live as imitators of God. If God is love, we get to live within the freedom of love. And it's a sobering thought to remember that I've lived a lot of life, personally, misunderstanding what love is. That for a long time, or for a time, it was lust, and then it was selfishness. It was convenience. I think about how many a time I would walk with people or bear with one another. I would be in relationship, and as I examined it in hindsight, I realized, oh, they were just like me. We kind of believed the same thing. We acted the same thing. We were interested in the same thing. But in the moment in which there was struggle and there was a humanity or human aspect that was brought forth, it was just condemnation. It was judgment. You need to fix yourself. And that broke the relationship. For there were many, there were potent times where I felt like I had a relationship with people, but then because of some self-righteous and maybe something that I didn't want to deal with, I was able to keep people at arm's distance and call it sin or call it rebellion or call it whatever. And I kept people at an arm's distance. And this is not love. Because for our processing or for our ability to understand what love is tangibly, we only need to look at Jesus. And did Jesus ever, maybe we can look at the calling of the 12, hey guys, get it right and then you can follow me. Did he stand on the other side of the proverbial pearly gates and said, hey, when your life is right, then you can come in? Did he call out the woman caught in the midst of adultery and say, hey, when your life is right, come back and I'll forgive you? But in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the sin and the mire and the muck, he came and he died for me. While I was in opposition to him, he came, met me, died for me, and said, Pete, I love you. Yield your will to me. And then in that, and knowing the truth and seeing the truth, yielding, and then there's new life. If we were to go back a verse from 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:7 says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. It's subtle. And there are still even times today that based on my love and acceptance on those I agree with, those I can relate to, those I think behave like me, this is not love, this is toleration. Love is doing what Jesus did. Love is pursuance. It's sacrifice. And again, not only did Jesus seek me out, but he loved me, he forgave me, he met me, he graced me, he saved me. And now I get to do that for others. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't save anybody. You don't save anybody. We can just go ahead and take that weight. Set it down over here. But we get to be the vessels in which God pours out his love and his grace and his mercy, that we get to demonstrate that. We get to be the living embodiment of that for others. So here's the good news. You don't have to, you get to. You get to love people right where they are. You get to meet them in the midst of your stuff and their stuff. And no doubt, sometimes our stuff, we think it looks good. Let me tell you, it doesn't. But we think it does. We dress it all up. And we get around people that dress up their stuff that looks like our stuff. But we get to love people in the midst of their stuff, just as God loves us in the midst of ours. Just this week, there was a need that came up in the neighborhood in Knollwood. We've sought, if you're not familiar with Love the Neighborhood, we have sought amongst walking with other churches to love low-income communities, people who feel marginalized, people who are marginalized, people who are disadvantaged in a lot of ways. And we have just come alongside and say, hey, we as a church want to love you. We as a people want to do what we do internally here, there, with you, where you are, and walk with you. There was a need that came up for a queen-size bed frame mattress, or queen-size bed frame, and for the family that had it, they were new, and they have a bunch of kids, and they have two rooms, and the master, they gave to the kids for the bunk room so they'd have space, and then they took the itty-bitty room. But they had a bed. But this bed had a huge headboard that blocked the window, and they were in violation. So that means if that they weren't able to get something as simple as a bed frame, and I believe that there are medical conditions involved that where the mattresses can't go on the floor, but if they weren't able to get a bed frame, it might be eviction or it might be a huge fine. They're in there because they don't have a lot of money. So you can see how that compounds and that compiles. But within 20 minutes, there's a couple that was like, hey, we got one that's taken up dust and room in our closet. Can we give it? And it was like, thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. Texting them up, hey, we got one. In fact, it was a little bit too soon. They're like, whoa, that was too fast. Can we do this Monday? And I'm like, totally. See, we get to. It's not a matter of like, oh, God, do I have to? But when we recognize what he has done for us and in us and how he has demonstrated his steadfast love, we get to do that for others. So this is the good news. The good news is being with them that through our resources, though our resources are limited, though our time is not inexhaustible, though our strength will be depleted, there is one in whom loves us with a steadfast love who is not limited, who is not exhaustible, whose strength is never depleted, and his name is Jesus. This is what we get to share. Because this is one of the things that we talk about when we walk with people in the neighborhood. It's like to the degree that we can, that God has given us abilities and opportunities and resources that to the ability that we can, but when we end that, when we get to the end of that, that's where we stop. Because we have to be responsible with what he's given us. But let me tell you about someone who has resources that are inexhaustible. The one who has strength that cannot be fatigued. The one that is here and that will meet with you. And however that conversation takes place, it might just be sitting with a coworker. It might be praying for a neighbor. It might be being able to share what God has done and what God has taught you with a friend. However that plays out, we get to live in such a way that we reflect the steadfastness of God and the steadfastness of his love. So we see that his love, count these hearts, kids, his steadfastness is a faithful, loyal love that is independent of how we feel. And he loves us because he is love. And we get to live in such a way that we reflect what he has done in us to those who are longing for that reunification, the uniting of our hearts with him. For that is why we were created. You ever wonder that? What is the meaning? What is the purpose of life? Why are we here? If we go back to how God originally designed things to be, it was to be with him. That is why we are created. And if you ever try to take a tool, which I have done numerous times, try to take your cordless drill and use it as a hammer, it doesn't work. I mean, it's heavy enough. I've got an old school one. But it doesn't work. And if we try to take our lives and apply them to anything else other than first and primary, knowing and loving God, it doesn't work. And our lives are an example of that. My life is an example of that. It doesn't work if I don't put God preeminently, first and foremost, loving him and knowing him, because that is how he has designed life to be. And in that, everything else falls into place. Everything else has its proper place. Amen? Let's stand together. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for just what you're doing in and through us as a church. Lord, we are grateful for your faithfulness to us, that your steadfast love, Lord, it's how wonderful it is that we need not fret or fear, or even when we despair because we don't feel you, we don't sense you, we don't hear your voice, that maybe the way that you've spoken to us in the past, Lord, it's not the same, but we can trust your word that you are faithful, that your love is unwavering, and that that's not a feeling or an emotion which changes and comes and goes, but it's a knowledge that we can walk in. Even this morning, Lord, thinking about, have I prayed enough? Have I prepared my heart enough? And you quietly reminding me, Pete, I love you. I love these people more than you. Trust me. God, may we live within the goodness that you provide. May we be sensitive to your leading. And when you tell us to be transparent or vulnerable or to share these stories, would you give us the courage and the bravery to step out and to be obedient? For Lord, this love that you have given us, it's not just for us, but it's to be used to share with those that you are drawing unto yourself. So Lord, work within us this chesed love, this loyal love, this faithful love, this steadfast love. Work it in us. Lord, help us to understand what it is and continue to lead and hold us by the hand and guide us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We commit all of this to you. We ask for you to have your way. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen.